We trust you enjoyed that number, and we now ask you to, if you will, bow with us for a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, how we thank thee that we have the precious privilege of broadcasting thy truth by the means of radio to men and women, boys and girls, wherever they may be. Thou dost know the listening audience better than we do, and so we ask thee, and cause many to tune in that have maybe have never tuned in before. Lord, arrest them as they turn the dial, and then cause them to listen like never before, because unless you do that work, Lord, they'll never hear it, because thou dost know the depravity of the human heart. O our God, how thankful we are that we have this privilege of broadcasting thy truth, not only by the means of radio, but also on the internet. And we praise thee for it, because it has all come from thee, and it's through thee. And so, Lord, we ask thy blessing upon it. Direct it as only thou art able. Cause many hearts to listen in, and then, above everything else, glorify thyself in all that's done, all that is done in this endeavor. We ask it in our Lord Jesus, for thy sake. Amen. This is the Mercies of God radio broadcast coming to you from Grand Rapids, Michigan. And this is Pastor Peter Nortier speaking to you. And we're delighted to come into your homes by the means of radio. We trust you've tuned in for a blessing. We know there's one in store for you. And we ask you, if you're possible, to do so. Maybe you get quieter around your radio and listen. Otherwise, you'll have to just listen as you whatever chores you may do. Some of you may be eating breakfast, others you may be driving down the highway. But whatever it is, we ask you to tune in and listen to the broadcast, if you will. Then we want you to do these three things again for us, if you will. Number one, pray for us if you're on praying ground. If you're not, something is wrong, because God's people cannot exist very good, very well without prayer. The second thing we want you to do is tell your friends and neighbors about the broadcast. Give them the call letters, the time, the name of the station, and then follow up on it, if you will, and see if they've done so, because you never know what God will do as they hear the broadcast. The third thing we want you to do is drop us a letter or a card. Our mailing address is very simple. It's the Mercies of God Association, or you may abbreviate and put MOGA, M-O-G-A, and our address is 1553 Knapp Street, Northeast, Grand Rapids, Michigan, zip code 49505. Knapp Street is spelled K-N-A-P-P, and the street is Northeast, Grand Rapids, Michigan, 49505. Remember, it's the Mercies of God Association, or MOGA, 1553 Knapp Street, Grand Rapids, Michigan, and we find it 49505. Then we're also on the internet. You can pick us up at podcastharbor.com. You can pick us up 24/7, if you will, and we hope many of you are doing so. But we want you to drop us a letter or a card, if you will. Now let's get quiet there on the radio. Let's listen to another number, then we'll bring you a message from the Word of God. Remember, we're counting on you to listen to the broadcast. We're counting on you also to drop us a letter or a card. If you'll notice, we don't ever ask for money, because we ask the Lord, and He supplies the money for us. So let's get quiet there, listen to another number, then we'll bring you a message from the Word of God. Remember, we'll be looking to hear from you this week, so don't disappoint us. Take your Bibles now and turn with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 14, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 8, down through verse 18. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. The same heard Paul speaking, who steadfastly, beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, Stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lyconia, The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. And they called Barnabas Jupiter, and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people. Which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, saying, and crying out and saying, Sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he hath not left himself without witness, in that he did good, and gave us rain from heaven, and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them. Our subject today, under the general theme, the God of the Bible, is the permissive decree of God. Now, I want you to sit up and pay close attention, as those of you that are listening to me, because I dare say we are covering subjects on this radio broadcast that some of you have never heard, and that it's a sad commentary that you remain ignorant of these great truths that are found in the Word of God. Our subject today is the permissive decree of God. Individuals today are confused that God's not punishing sin immediately. The heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil, and because evil is not punished at once, man goes on and on in his sin, seemingly sinning with impunity. However, such is not the case. The condition of the world becomes more and more evil, and seemingly God is doing nothing about it. This is the problem every Christian faces and is often called upon to explain. The sad commentary is that the vast majority of so-called believers today cannot explain these things. And so our lesson today will be an attempt to answer these questions concerning sin and whether or not it is the will of God. So you listen carefully and follow along in your Bibles as we seek to examine our subject, the permissive decree of God. Last time we pointed out the various aspects of God's efficacious decree and how the will of God is fulfilled in these aspects. Today we shall look at the permissive decree of our Lord and see also how this decree fulfills the will of God. One must remember that our Lord, being the sovereign God of the universe, works all things after the counsel of His will. This means there are no surprises, no crises, nor unexpected happenings with the Lord God of heaven. All things are under His control, and all things will fulfill the will of God because He works all things according to the counsel of His will. To understand the permissive will of God, we must first of all define what we mean by the term. God's permissive will is His will to permit whatsoever He thinks fit. Listen now, to permit or not to hinder. He so regulates and disposes the permission unto His wise and great ends of His own will. This includes sin. Yet our Lord cannot be charged with sin, nor be connected with it in any way. Notice again verses 15 through 17 of our text where we read. Paul says in these words, "Sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, He left not Himself without witness, in that He did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness." Here we see in a clear-cut statement that God allowed or permitted the nations to walk in their own ways. Now, this explains the reason for the wicked ways of men and nations at this hour. God is allowing man to go his own way under the permissive will of the Lord, but listen now, man will carry out the purpose of the Lord God of heaven in this manner. As you study your Bible, you ought to go back to the book of Genesis, where our Lord made the covenant with Abraham. And our Lord told Abraham that 400 years would go by, and that the seed of Abraham would be in the land of Egypt, and they would be in slavery under them, and then God would judge them. And our Lord said, He said, but after 400 years, He said, when the iniquity of the Amorites is full, He said, I will bring them forth. Now, what are you talking about? God let the iniquity of the Amorites build up for 400 years before He brought judgment upon them. Now, beloved, God knows what's going on in this world. He is allowing man to go his own way under the permissive will of the Lord, but man will carry out the purpose of the Lord in this manner. Now, you better think on that. Let me stop right here and give you this truth. You may be the greatest and most wicked sinner that ever lived, yet you will carry out the purpose of God. If you die and go to hell, and you will unless you repent and come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, then when you die and go to hell without Christ, you will go there to the praise of the glory of God's justice. His purpose for you will be carried out. The lack of restraint upon you now is allowed under the permissive will of God,
But put it down, my friend. Someday you will give an account of your actions, no matter who you may be. The only way to escape the judgment of God is to come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And my hope is that some of you listening to me at this hour who do not know Christ will be pricked in your heart by the Holy Spirit and made to see and understand your need of Christ, and then that God will have mercy on you and save you. In the permissive will of God, there is a great mystery which will thrill the heart of every Christian when once they become aware of this great truth. The truth is that God permits sin for the purpose of overruling it for good. Now let me repeat this. God permits sin for the purpose of overruling it for good. Turn to Psalm chapter 76 and verse 10, where we read, "Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee, the remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain." Now turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, where we read, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Now stop and reflect for a moment if you are a believer. And if you are a believer, I want you to stop and reflect for just a moment, if you will. Go back with me, if you will, to the time before you were saved. You walked in sin. You did what you desired. You were under the wrath of God. And yet, for some strange reason, God didn't cut you off, did He? Now, all of this came about due to God's permissive will. He permitted you to do this in order that He might overrule sin in you for His good and His glory, and that's the reason He brought you to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, that's why I've said before, and will say again, the greatest thing that can ever happen to you, if it ever does, is for the Lord Jesus to reach down and save you. Thus far, I've given you the definition and purpose of the permissive will of God. The rest of our lesson will set forth in a good, clear example of God's permissive will as it is found in the Bible, and how the Lord worked it out for His good as well as for His glory. Take your Bibles now and turn back with me, if you will, to the 45th chapter of the book of Genesis. In this portion, we see the climax of God's will set forth, which brought glory to Him as well as salvation to the family of Jacob. To understand the climax in Genesis chapter 45, we must examine the entire episode involving Joseph and his brothers, and I'm sure if you know anything about your Bible, you probably have read that portion from childhood on. The first aspect in this example is the permissive will of God revealed in the selling of Joseph into slavery. Turn to Genesis 37, where we see the principle of sin. Notice verse 4, where we read, "And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him." Now skip down to verse 8, where we read in the last part, "And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words." Here we see sin in its most raw sense. Jacob loved Joseph more than the other sons, which was sin, yet our Lord permitted it. The brethren hated Joseph because of his words and his dreams, as well as because of his position. This hatred was also sin, yet it was permitted by the Lord Himself. However, we are not finished yet, because in verse 18, we read this of his brothers. This is Genesis 37. "And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him." Now skip down to verse 28, where we see the final aspect of sin. "Then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt." Here is the culmination of the brothers' evil actions. They hated Joseph so much, they had to get rid of him, so they thought. But the brethren failed to account the sovereignty of God and the carrying out of His purpose. God was still in control, even though sin was seemingly permitted to have its way for a time. In the experiences of Joseph, we see God's permissive will and God's efficacious will being worked out. Now remember again, as I've told you before, and I want to tell you one more time, listen to me carefully. Remember this, God permits sin for the purpose of overruling it for good. This took place in the life of Joseph, and it's still taking place at this present hour in your life, and it will until God's purpose is worked out, and so we want to continue to examine this. Joseph was carried into Egypt as a slave, sold to Potiphar, and later put in prison, even though innocent. This is a combination of both the permissive and efficacious decrees of God. The Lord permitted Joseph to be put in prison for the purpose of humbling him. Unknown to him, our Lord had planned to make Joseph ruler of Egypt as well as the savior of his brethren and his father. Now, Joseph did not know that, but God did. God's efficacious purpose was being worked out even though the wrath of man was manifested in the selling and in the imprisonment of Joseph. In due time, our Lord worked out his purpose, so Joseph became second in command in Egypt. At the same time, Jehovah God caused a famine to come, forcing the brothers to come to Egypt to buy grain. You see, my friend, our Lord works all things after the counsel of his will, for he even makes a famine to carry out his purpose. This famine brought the brethren to Joseph, and God made them bow before their brother, whom they had hated for so long and had tried so desperately to kill. Also, Joseph's heart was worked upon too, so that there was no thought or desire of revenge on the part of Joseph. It is a picture of God's wonderful sovereign grace, because Joseph bestowed his favor upon his brethren, and he gave them the best when they deserved the worst, and that's exactly what God does to us when he reaches down and saves us. Last of all, we see the acknowledgement of Joseph that what happened to him was God's purpose. Listen again, if you will, to verses 5 through 8 of Genesis 45, where we read, "Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall be neither earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance." Now listen to these words. "So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt." Now let's sum all this up in just a few moments, for our time is almost gone. Joseph saving his brethren is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ saving the sinner. We as sinners have done the worst we could to Christ, and God permitted it. We killed the Lord Jesus Christ because when he hung on the cross, our hands put him there. It was our sin that put him there, and yet it was the fulfillment of God's purpose. At the same time, the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior of such despicable wretches as we are, and in return, he gives us the best that he can. God's permissive will allowed sin for the purpose of overruling it by his efficacious will or decree that it might redound to his glory. Now I'm going to ask you a question, my radio friend. What about you at this hour? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ at this moment? Have you ever bowed before him as your Lord and your Savior? You see, one of these days, you're going to do it, because one of these days, every knee is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. But, my friend, at that time, it will be too late. You see, God's dealing with you even now, like he dealt with the brothers under Joseph. Oh, my friend, his permissive will allows sin, but God holds you responsible for your sin as you are the perpetrator of it. The goodness of God reaches down and overrules your sin when our Lord reaches down and saves you. However, remember one thing. God doesn't have to save you, but you need to be converted. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the only Redeemer there is. Now listen carefully. if you are to be in live in eternity with the Lord God of heaven in glory, you've got to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. My hope is that even now, something has been said that the Holy Spirit will take and cause you to begin to seek Him. Because, my friend, I urge you this, seek Him now while He may be found, because to know Christ is the greatest blessing that you can ever have. Now, remember very carefully, God doesn't have to save you, yet you've got to be saved. And yet our Lord says unto you at this hour, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, if you don't know the Lord, seek Him now is my cry. Until we meet again, this is Pastor Peter North here, saying goodbye, and may the Lord spare you before it's too late. Thank you.